This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. I've come back to Grovan, which is the city library, or the main branch of the city library, to talk about something that's happening in a different part of the city library, at Árbær. On Sunday, it is a quilting workshop led by the artist Kristalina Humanik. All hands come together to create fabric that connects us all. Kristalina, thanks very much for your time today. And the first observation I would make is about my own lack of skill when it comes to sewing or embroidery or even, you know, stitching a hole in a pair of socks. So before we get into this, is any previous knowledge or skill required for anyone to enjoy what's happening on Sunday?
Absolutely not. Good. You can come if you've never even touched a sewing machine or a needle before.
Fantastic. So what is happening on Sunday? We should say not just Sunday, there are other events in this series as well, but tell me about the quilting workshop at Árbær on Sunday.
I will be giving a short lecture about the history of quilting in America and how it links to different cultural migrations and groups there. Looking at different patterns and histories, and then I gave a little bit of instruction about how to make what is called a quilt block, and then the participants have about 2 hours to construct their own quilt block. I show everyone how to use a sewing machine and how to cut the fabric, although the fabrics are cut in advance, so that makes it all go a little bit faster.
Okay, and when we talk about quilting, is that a specific term that relates to the making of a quilt?
It is actually, in a technical sense, it's the last step of the process.
Okay.
So it's when you stitch all the layers together. But what we are doing is called piecing.
Right.
And so we thought that this was a great analogy to the way that history gets pieced together. The way that people come together and add little bits of their experience and their perspective to a collective conversation during these workshops. So
right.
It's a technical thing, and it's also a metaphor.
And do quilts become stories then?
Absolutely. That is the basis of the lecture that I give. It's very connected to family histories, to patterns connected to different cultures of people, colors, all the aesthetics, and it's a folk art. So
right.
It's not something that's typically, you know, in the contemporary art museum. So that's the plan.
And just in a practical sense, before we get into some of the fabrics that you brought along today and what they mean and how they can be assembled, as I say, in a practical sense, are people moving away from quilts towards duvets and duvet covers more than having a quilt covering their bed?
It depends where you look. I think the duvet is obviously made quicker. The quilt is made of hundreds of tiny pieces of fabric that are stitched together into really intricate geometrical patterns. And that history is also connected to recycling and reuse of fabrics, because you can take something that you've found in your home that has a hole in it, a tablecloth or a piece of clothing that you don't want to throw away, but it's not usable anymore, and you can cut it up and repurpose it into this. So it's time consuming, but it also is a way to keep the textiles around you that you have loved and used for many years.
And it's sustainable too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now the sheets that you have here, the pieces of fabric, they're all about the size of a vinyl record, a 12-inch record in its sleeve, I would say. There are nine squares on the top one I'm looking at, but there are different geometric arrangements on some of the other ones below. What are the fabrics that we have here? Where did these come from?
These are actually recycled duvet covers.
Okay.
Yes, they're
talking of duvets.
Yeah, you were right on. They're from the Red Cross. They collected the colors and patterns that I was interested in using. So I have all the materials for this giant quilt that we're eventually going to make. And they can choose from a series of triangles or squares and design the layout and the colors and the pattern for their block.
So again, going back to what we said at the start, there's no prior knowledge or skill required here. So what is provided then for people if they want to come along and make those design choices? What are the building blocks that they're working with?
That's a great question. I have some sheets that they can use to design their block. So we have colored pencils, and you can spend some time designing. I help with that aspect. We also have the Árbær library location has a bunch of really great sewing machines. which is not true for all of the other libraries. They have the most. So it's actually a site where we can almost have like a class, where I can teach people how to use the machines. They stitch them together. It's very simple construction. And then they leave their block with me that's going to be added to the larger collective work.
Okay, and what will happen then? Because this is the second, we should say, of the four sessions. We can talk about how the first one went, maybe. But what is that collective work going to be?
It's hopefully going to be a giant quilt.
Okay. Or I thought that was going to be.
Yeah, that is the goal. Or a series of small quilts that fit together.
Right.
That are just representative of all the different kinds of people that live in Reykjavik and also have come to these workshops. We'd really love for anyone to come. It's open to any age, any level of experience in terms of sewing, but also any language. We have people that are interpreting. It's very visual as well, so I can very much demonstrate without a lot of speaking.
You talk about the quilt making in America and its history. Is there an Icelandic quilt making tradition or design?
You know, there is. There is actually more in terms of embroidery in Icelandic history. And obviously knitting is very popular right now.
Yes.
But going back to, there are some medieval manuscripts of embroidery patterns. So that's really the biggest quilting or the biggest textile history here. But in the 90s, quilting had a big surge in a lot of European countries because of one exhibition by the American Quilting Society that traveled into a couple of countries.
Right.
So that links to my personal academic research, is to follow these threads of how the patterns have traveled and migrated actually into Europe. Yes. And then been repurposed to create new senses of cultural identity through pattern.
Back to that recycling again, aren't we?
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
So this is the second of the four sessions taking place at Aabai. How was the first one, which took place last month?
It was excellent. Yeah, we had a really wide range of experience level. These actually, a couple of these were made by people that have never made a block before, including this one.
So this one here is, I'm going to try to describe it as best I can. There is a geometric pattern, a red square in one corner. You've got a cut through of green, an angular pattern with some blue on the left and some purple on the right. So the history of this one then, since we're talking about it.
She wanted to make a landscape.
There's the mountain. So there's the mountain and the sky and the sea.
This is the mountain and this is the sun. So we thought this was incredibly complex for someone who had never done this before.
You know what, I just need to turn it round so it's actually, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so I helped each person. I have these sheets where they can design their block as well.
Yes.
So that helps kind of with the process of understanding. It's very math-based, this process.
So, but that shouldn't put people off.
It should not. Everything operates on a grid. So it's also connected to binary code. And, you know, you're basically making an image with a series of squares, which is a bit like pixel.
Giant pixels.
Right. We can kind of take any image and reduce it down to a simplified version of itself. And so we did that. And then we also had a bunch of people from the Icelandic Quilting Association come. Some of them made blocks, some of them were just curious to meet me. And they are actually, I'm going to their next general meeting to present this idea to them, to hopefully be involved in the last aspect of this whole project.
Okay, well, the next session is on Sunday. That's the 19th of October. That's the second quilting workshop or quilt workshop at Aarbeer City Library. And then you've got two more in November, on the 9th and on the 30th of November. And by then, this idea and the love that you have for quilting will have been in front of quite a few people.
I hope so. Yes, definitely. We're also asking people to talk a little bit, and it can be anonymous or in a group conversation, because this is very slow going process. So there's time for talking and there's time for meeting each other. And so we're also asking people what they want to see change around them right now. And it's a very broad question. You know, and the answers can have really ranged from something very small and local to something very big and worldly. So, and that can be anonymous as well. But I'm hoping to incorporate that text into the quilt in some way as well, with embroidery over the top of it or something in the end, so that it really captures this moment and what people are thinking about.
And I think a lot of this does speak to the idea of mindfulness, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Slow craft.
Slow crafting.
Yeah. It slows you down and it makes you think about what you're doing and the materials that you're using and, you know, where you are, who you're with.
As we head into deepest winter and Christmas not very far away, is there room for any festive design here?
Oh, that's a great idea. Yes, I think we could probably make a tree.
Editorial decision right now. So if you fancy making a Christmas tree or the shape of one in this geometric way at the quilting workshop, that's now officially permitted.
I love that idea. Thank you. I also think, like, you know, you might donate your quilt block to the project in after this workshop, but I hope that people go home and do this, you know, and stay in touch with me and continue quilting. So maybe by Christmas they'll have some skills as well to make some gifts or something for their home.
And this is something you want to carry forward in 2026 here in Iceland?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm in conversations to do more workshops. I am hoping to work with the Arbeiter Open Air Museum to have a series of public quilting bee events in the summer, early summer, so that we can put the quilts together and also talk to the public about the process and the history. And I'll be involving the experienced quilters for that part because it's a bit technical.
I think we have some video of the last session as well that we can link to on the page accompanying the show from Roof English Radio. You'll find that link. You'll also find a link to this Sunday's event and details of the two remaining events in November as well. Kristalina, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you so much for the time and giving this project some light.
It's Roof English Radio. My name's Darren Adam and you can get in touch anytime. We are English at ruv.is.
There is more from RÚV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.